The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
Great. How about you?
Doing good.
Good.
We're here with Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. We are broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. If you have a question or a comment, you can call into 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
Anyway, a couple of quick announcements I want to make here. First of all, there is a Free the Hostages rally. It's in front of the new courthouse, January the
6th
at 12 p.m. And it is 1515 Court Street, Redding, California. And be there. And there's been there was a good program on yesterday with Kelly Frost. Kelly was talking to one of the hostages. That's what they are. And the J6ers. And it just it's horrible what these people have had to go through. Our last program did talk a little bit about the issues here in Shasta County. And basically, we have no media. We have no resources in media. So I want to let everybody know about this fundraiser. You see, here's the deal. Many Americans have gone away from the mainstream media, and it's hard to find a source of information you can trust. Recent victories locally and across the country prove that people of this great nation are ready for transparency. Most patriots get their information on current events from radio, social media, and alternative news apps. Therefore, Mountaintop Media strives to provide information that you can trust and that the mainstream media won't cover. With your help, we can expand our team by writing more articles, training new journalists, advertising our existing shows, and bringing new shows to our platform to get more exposure for maximum impact. Join us for an exciting community event, or even make it a Valentine's date. That'd be good for you and Lori, Patrick. Oh, you will be there, won't you? There will be a dinner, drinks, live auction, raffle, and fun with friends. Get your friends together for a great evening out. Every table purchase includes fun goodies and an excellent entry, an exclusive entry into a special drawing. Now, the fundraiser I'm talking about is Support Real Journalism. The fundraising dinner and live auction will be Saturday, February 15th. That's Saturday, February 15th at the Anderson VFW at 3210 West Center Street. The doors open at 4. And tickets are $40 each. A table of 8 is only $300 and includes an entry into an exclusive drawing, which is really kind of cool. You can make your checkout, or you can do this online, or you can pick up flyers. You can pick up, you can go sign up and sign in at Jones Fort or at Northern Roots. So if you have any questions, you can call 530-638-4150, 530-638-4150. And I did that in a couple of breaths because I'm here with Lori Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She takes your breath away,
doesn't
she?
And she brought a guy with her. Hey, she brought somebody with her. What's this guy's name?
Well, I'm Supervisor Patrick Jones for 2 more days.
Anyway, Patrick, you have some interesting news, and the last program that Kevin Cry just did, he was spot on. We have so much crap going on in this county as far as crime and everything else, and that goes right to the top. We just don't have people who have been elected in capacity of, I'll just point out, the DA, that are really doing their job. Anyway, so...
Or ROV.
Or ROV. Anyway, my friend, what say you, and what's your plan coming up for the new year?
Well, I'm going to talk today a little bit, kind of a going in a little different direction. And, you know, in 2 days from now, in fact, on January 1st, I won't be an elected official, and I'll be able to talk about more things after that. Right now, the Brown Act still applies, and so I can only talk to one supervisor or one supervisor elect right now on any given item. But come January 1st, that's different. So, but there was there is a kind of my life story here in Shasta County and in Redding. Most people know that I grew up here, and my earliest memories are started in 1972. My mom said, "Hey, would you like to go to work with my dad instead of staying at home?" And I said, "Sure, you know, staying at home is no fun." So
you got sucked into it, didn't you?
Yeah. So in 1972, I went to work with my dad, and he'd set me up on the counter, and I'd listen. And then pretty soon, he got me to learn how to sweep and clean and do various chores, take out trash, all these things. And so, but I did like it, and I did like listening to my father. And so, pretty much everything my father knew, I would soak up, and I would go to school. Before or after school, I would go to the shop and work after school, all through kindergarten, elementary school, junior high, high school. Even in my first 2 years of college, I worked at the shop and learned from my father, and then later on from my brothers and my sister. And so, a family shop here. We're still going. The shop has been in operation for now over 60 years, since 1962, and I've been there most of my life. And and of course, growing up in a gun shop, shooting and hunting was just part of life, and it was important to put food on the table, and so hunting was popular. But also, my dad really liked competitive target shooting, and so in the 1970s, as a junior shooter, I was the top junior shooter in Shasta County, and we didn't have classes, mm-hmm. so I just had to shoot with the adults, and I could beat most of the adults, and we shot a lot, and so shooting became fun, and it's competitive, and so I really liked that. Later on in life, I turned from handgun shooting to shotgun shooting, and went on the tour and started going to different towns and became a state champion and had a lot of fun doing that. And I like rifle shooting too. And so pretty much anything that's competitive is shooting. And today I turn my focus on the next generation of youngsters and getting them going. And so when I was shooting in the 1970s at the Redding Gun Club, we got an eviction notice. And I think we got that around 1978, 79. And the city said the city of Redding promised that they would relocate us from the Benton Drive over by the landfill, over by the National Guard Armory and Benton Air Park, if you're familiar with that area. And so several years went by. They made a couple efforts, and then that failed, and they demolished the old Redding Gun Club. And they made some promises that they would relocate it. In fact, the city has a policy. If they dislocate a recreational facility, they have to replace it in its entirety. They never did do that. Through high school and then into college, I didn't shoot as much. I started getting interested in fast cars and girls and kind of took me away from shooting. And I went off to Sac State to finish my bachelor's degree and had planned on going into the military. That didn't work out. Came back to Redding in 1990. So I was gone for 2 years and continued on with the shop and continued climbing mountains and hunting and jet skiing and snowmobiling and motorcycles and, you know, anything that would go fast, whether it's on water or snow or land.
Do you still like things that are fast?
No, I've slowed down a lot. But in my 20s, absolutely. And so, you know, that was a good time to get that out of your system.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I flew planes, too. I liked pretty much anything that would go fast that I could find, I would do. And I started jet skiing in the city of Redding only to be banned from the city of Redding. and so I had to go to Anderson. That was an interesting time. The city of Reading lost that lawsuit in 1997 and had to reverse their decisions. They had made a decision to ban personal watercraft within the city of Reading, and it was it's illegal to segregate a certain type of vessel in that regard. And so they came back later with a speed limit that still prevents most jet skis in the city of Reading. Started flying at Enterprise Sky Park, only to have the city shut that down and said, you know, we need this land because it's going to be very valuable. You know, we have a really important project, of course, and it was a mini storage. So that was the important project shut down Enterprise Sky Park. So I had, in the 90s, I had interactions with the city of Reading, and they weren't very favorable. They weren't keeping their promise, and they were doing things that didn't seem to be what people that had grown up around here wanted. And so in about 1999, I started going to city council meetings and started noticing a lot of decisions that I didn't like, and that really frustrated me. It was as if these people were plucked from some other location and set down here, and they were making decisions, and I didn't like that. And so a couple years later, I decided in 2002 that I would run for city council, and I felt that I could make a better decision than what I was seeing. And that was a good experience. I did not win. In fact, I came in last. But I went to every meeting. I went from every city council meeting from 2002 to 2015, and I learned more. In 2004, I ran and came in last. But in 2006, I ran and I won. And one of the interesting things I did on the very first day that I was in office is I had already asked, as a candidate, I'd asked all the current council members that would they support the idea of having the shooting range come back because the city had made a promise. And they had all indicated that they would support that project. And so I had that on the agenda for my very first day as a city council member. And, of course, we took the vote, and it failed 4-1. All the council members basically reversed their decision and would not honor the obligation of the city. And that was kind of my introduction to politics, is that people would say one thing and then do something else. And so while shooting sports have been a big part of my life, it just opened me up to many other issues that weren't being addressed at the city level. So my work began really in earnest in the start of 2007. And, of course, then we did get into a global recession. 2007 and 2008 were tremendously bad for the city of Reading. And we're losing hundreds of employees. And so it's hard to take on new programs or new things when you're laying hundreds of people off. And so I never brought up the idea of a shooting range. But I did start thinking that while the city may not be in a position to do it, then I'll do it myself. And so I was able to scrape up enough money, and in 2010 I bought a piece of property for the sole purpose of having a regional shooting range that had been promised. And then I went through and started doing the environmental documents and pre-water delineation, water delineation, traffic study, acoustic study, Indian artifact study, AB 32 greenhouse gas study, all the studies that are required to do that, and then eventually get it before the Planning Commission and ultimately the board and get approval. I'm currently in a lawsuit now with the neighbors. A couple neighbors have sued me on environmental issues, and next month in January, that should wrap up in court. This is the most studied range in Shasta County's history. There's no other range that's been studied and protected. We've went to great lengths to protect this piece of property and preserve it and actually improve it in many ways. And so I look forward to a good decision next month. And so that'll hopefully then allow me to start moving dirt. And again, I'm paying for all of this. Some folks have thought that, you know, the county is paying for this. The county is not. In fact, I've paid the county the zone change fee, and so it's cost me, you know, several hundred thousand dollars of fees and various, you know, studies that have had to been done. And so, you know, I'm taking this on because I think it's important.
Sure.
And it's not about making money. I haven't made any money, and I doubt I'll ever make any money.
You're spending money.
I'm spending lots of money. Maybe in the future I might recoup that money, but that's an unknown. And I didn't do it for that. I did it so that we would have a place for the public to shoot that goes on into the future, because I was at a location where we were evicted, essentially. We couldn't control our destiny. And we've essentially lost a generation of shooters over this. And competitive shooting for young folks is a great thing. And learning skills, safety, competitiveness. I think we have the potential here to have some great shooters, some Olympic champions, if you will. But you have to have a place for people to shoot. And, you know, Shasta County is one of the highest gun ownerships per capita of any county in the state of California. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't have a great place for the public to shoot. And so that's been a priority of mine. But along the way, I've seen lots of bad decisions, which, you know, prompted me to run for various positions. And so this journey has taken, you know, 50 years, most of my life, to get from where I started to this point. And I'm very close on being able to essentially have a range for the public. And my goals there are to really engage the youth of our area, to try to offer programs at no charge, try to get their ammunition sponsored so that the costs are down. Right now, ammunition is expensive compared to what it was a decade ago.
Yep.
We can keep those costs down. We can get this next generation involved, and that can be even high schools and trap leagues and skeet leagues and any kind of shooting. I don't care what it is, whether it's handgun, rifle, or shotgun. I like all of it, and you know, so I'm happy about that, but there has been some confusion as to, you know, that was something that the county was paying for, the city. And I've tried working with the county before, and I've tried working with the city before, and all those efforts, because this isn't my first time building a range, they've all failed because they never had the desire to really do it. And it was very frustrating to see tens of millions of dollars being spent on other recreational things over these last decades.
You know, like Field of Dreams.
All kinds of things, right? Big League Dreams, the soccer
Big
park.
Big League Dreams.
Right, all these other things, and yet we're not addressing another issue, and that should have been addressed long ago. And
right.
So, you know, I told the public many, many years ago that I would get this going, and so I'm doing everything that I can and to be able to accomplish that. And so I take a lot of pride in that. People that don't understand that's not my fault. That's their fault for not understanding, you know, that this area should have a quality range for people, and that's for all types of people. Personal protection is a huge thing now, and more and more women now have CCWs, more than ever before. We have over 12,000 now, and you should be regularly practicing at a place that can have a course that puts you through you know, a little bit of stress to prepare you for real life. And I really look forward to that. And
now, hours of operation are one thing that, you know, I mean, how would that work as far as probably be a big thing on weekends? And also, this sounds like it'd be family friendly. Is there some things that you would do in that way to maybe not events, but different things that you would have available for people?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and so it's open 5 days a week. It'll be closed Monday and Tuesday, most
hours.
Likely. And it's basically from sunup to sundown.
Gotcha.
And no night shooting. And, you know, most of the time, most of the organized events are not usually in the dead of winter, but they can be. So normally it's kind of spring and summer months, and fall. You have a lot of, you know, because when this is obviously an outdoor range. And
yeah,
so
the weather's conducive to that here in the fall. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of sunny days. So,
yeah.
You know, being able to shoot outdoors is really, to me, I you know, I don't have anything against shooting indoors, but you're highly limited on an indoor range. And when it's super hot or it's rainy, an indoor range is pretty nice in that regard. But they're loud. and there's some health issues. An outdoor range is really, you just get to do far more stuff, whether it's shotgun shooting or longer range rifle shooting. And so, you know, for me growing up on a range, seeing how all that works, you know, I really look forward, and I've taken a look at a lot of range designs, and then been able to incorporate those things into this project and then work with the environment so that we protect the environment. On this project, all the vernal pools and swells and the ephemeral streams are all will be protected. And by limiting the massive overgrazing that occurs on the Millville Plains today, it'll actually improve the wetlands from where it is today. Today, there's a lot of damage being done by the massive overgrazing that often is overlooked that does harm the environment. And so that's been a long project of mine. And but along the way, you know, I've had a great opportunity not only to join the Redding City Council and then become the mayor of City of Redding in 2010, but then in 2020, being elected to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and being chair in 2023, and then being able to serve with conservatives like Supervisor Kelstrom and Supervisor Cry to be able to have some changes towards conservative values and really looking, you know, and being able to get things done. And I'm hopeful going forward that the new board with Corky Harmon coming on board, they'll be able to get even more done. And, you know, so looking forward to that. And, you know, and for me, you know, you never know what might happen as far as running for something. There's always things to run for if you want to, if you have a desire in a particular area. Obviously, for me, lately, elections have been, you know, really important. And, you know, we made a great decision in early 2023 to get rid of Dominion voting machines and go to hand count. And I was really happy that the board approved that and we got that passed, only to later have the state pass AB 969 saying that you must use one of these three proprietary software machines. You know, it curbed our ability to hand count in the way that we wanted to. That battle's not over. That battle just began. And we'll see what this new administration. We, you know, the board recently, as you're aware, Terry and Wynn, we have written two separate letters to the United States Department of Justice to take a look at our HART machines and the Runbeck printing. And so I expect in February and March we'll start seeing some investigations done at the federal level here in Shasta County. I look forward to that.
Good. Hey, yeah. quick question. On the court date you have in January, if you get the green light for your shooting range, how long from start to finish will it take?
Well, so it'll go probably in a couple phases. So the first thing that we're going to do is I already have the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers 404 permit to move dirt in the manner that I've already that I've described and presented to the Army Corps, and they along with Fish and Wildlife have concurred with our water delineation and how we're going to build the range. And so earthwork will need to be done. So in the summer of 2025, the dirt work would begin, and then we'll work on septic, restrooms, paving. And it's possible in that year of 2025 that metallic cartridge shooters, which would be handgun and rifle shooting, could be up and running, you know, next year. Okay. And then phase two would be more of the shotgun sports, and then a large building or, you know, a decent sized building there for classes and various things like that. So it'll be done most likely in one or two phases, maybe three phases, but, you know, that's yet to be seen exactly. But the first thing is you move your dirt, so that will be done. And out on the plains, and if anybody's ever done any earthwork here in Shasta County, you know, you can't do anything, you know, in the winter months at all. This ground out here just turns to mud very quickly, so you have to wait until it dries out. And even May is usually too early. You usually have to wait till mid to late June before everything really hardens up before you can start moving the amount of dirt. And we're going to have some pretty tall berms here, some very tall berms for safety reasons and to protect and to control and to try to minimize having any projectiles leaving the property. So very, very tall berms.
Like what, 20 feet or so?
20 or taller, yeah.
20 or taller. Whoa, okay, cool.
All right. Well, we are here with Patrick and Lori Jones. Very interesting conversation. learning a lot about these gun ranges and want to get into a little bit of politics after the break here. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Redding businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table.
Feel the excitement,
the thrill,
the rush.
Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone.
Pass line,
hard ways,
come hit your point and win big.
Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today. Your luck starts here. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Doesn't sound like Hank.
Is that Sally? Did Sally send you?
It's the end of It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, it is the last show of this year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. All right, honey, I get it. Happy New Year, everybody. I get it. Oh, that is hilarious.
You know, it's funny because in 2020, you know, the night of the election, that night, I looked like I was going to be losing. I was my opponent. I was winning on the first when the first numbers came in, but only by 0.4%. But Trump was up quite a bit. And my thinking was, well, you know, it looks like I didn't make supervisor, but, you know, we've got Trump in. So I'm, you know, I'm pretty thrilled about that. So I went to bed feeling pretty good. And then I woke up in the morning and Trump is now not winning. And I picked up another point or two. And but I'm not sure. I was happy that I was won, but I think I would have been happier if Trump had won and I had lost, to be honest. I mean, that was how I felt. And so this time around, whereas I didn't win, but Trump did, I'm pretty happy with that because while the difference in what I can do here in Shasta County, there are things that we've been able to accomplish here in Shasta County, but what Trump's going to be able to do, you know, for our nation and for the world is tremendously more important. And so for that, I'm super thankful.
Well, we also had to go through all the garbage that came because of having the current administration in there so that people could truly see how bad it really is. And so they got to experience that. But we also got to experience having you on the board in a good way where you were exposing things and cleaning house and so forth by natural attrition. People just left because they saw the writing on the wall and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was part of the movement, and, you know, without me, the movement wouldn't have happened. And
that's right.
It takes a lot of people for a movement.
Sure.
And the other night at my last board report, you know, I named off, you know, 40, 50 people. And that was that really was a small list of all the people that have taken part behind the scenes to do their part to make Shasta County better. And, you know, and so, you know, for me, 2023 was really a great year because we got new board members on that were conservative. I became chair. It's not easy to be chair, you know, of an elected body at a supervisor level. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I'd ever be chair. And so that was a great opportunity for me. And so that year is always very, very fond for me.
Well, and also, too, you got to experience the lies that come from the staff, the lies that come from the bureaucrats that were supposed to be honest with you so you can make better educated decisions on what you're going to do and to be able to convey that to the public.
Yeah, no, I did not have the good leadership in my corner. You know, it wasn't too bad with Pat Minturn, but once we got Mary Williams, she clearly was doing things differently than what the majority of the board wanted to do. You know, until we got our new CEO, Rickert, did we start getting, you know, the correct type of leadership in the CEO's position. And the CEO carries out the will of the board, whatever that is. Whatever board is present, that's the will of the board. It's the same at city council. And when you have people in the back that aren't doing that, it's counterproductive to the board. And in fact, you're disenfranchising all the voters because the elected officials, their will is not being carried out. That's what was happening in Shasta County.
Who has jurisdiction over hiring and firing county staff? Is it the board itself? Are there variables, or is it the CEO that has the jurisdiction to hire and fire?
So for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, we can only hire and fire two positions, which is the CEO and County Council. That's
okay.
It, those two positions.
Okay.
As we appoint those people, then they have the authority below them. So, for example, for the assistant CEO, if we had one, if the desire was to eliminate that person, that would be the CEO would have sole authority. Now, the board could ask, hey, we don't approve.
But he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to.
He does not have to. Once he's there, he makes those decisions.
Does it work the same way in the Registrar of Voters office in that the ROV officer can hire and fire? Or
correct. It's the same.
Okay, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of what jurisdiction is in county government. And I think even to this day, there's a lot of misunderstanding because a lot of people I know called for the Board of Supervisors to fire Ms. Francesca, and there was no way you could anyway because you wouldn't have jurisdiction over that. Right.
Yeah, and you see it all the time when, let's say, for example, when you elect a new DA, you see changes within the department. Right. You see people leave because they don't align with the thinking of a new DA. We've seen that before with Benito and Carlton, and I'm sure going back. And so you see changes in a lot of different departments when you have new leadership with new direction. And you know, for me in the ROV, was I disappointed? You know, at first I wasn't disappointed because we thought pretty highly of Tom Toller, and integrity seemed to be very important to him. And then as we go through this last election cycle, the same mistakes and same election law violations were occurring. And it was very disappointing that those weren't getting fixed because they're easy to fix. They're right there in front of you. They're so blatant. Having transparency and having trust in your elections is a very easy thing to accomplish if you want to do it. And apparently Mr. Toller did not want to do it because it didn't happen.
So if he has those violations, are there penalties that are financial that come with that to the county?
Well, for example, here's an election.
That's a good question.
Election violation. I went down there many times, and there were other folks involved in election integrity that were there every day for hours and hours and hours, and so they saw even far more than I did. But for example, when you see some gals in the break room handling ballots, and it's off limits to any observation, that's an election code violation. You have to have meaningful observation, which means I get to see the marks on the ballot. That's how close I get to be.
So you're standing over their shoulder essentially watching and seeing the
right
ballots.
Not anymore though.
If I want to.
In theory you're supposed to be able to, yeah.
Right. But having somebody handling ballots by themselves,
right,
without two people, without two sets of eyes, and having no observation is a clear election code violation. And it disenfranchises everybody that's involved in that process because we cannot see what's happening. Now, does that mean that there's any nefarious action? Well, I can't tell because I can't observe. So now the suspicions are there.
Right.
And now there's no trust.
Right.
And so and you've lost your transparency.
Right.
And so now if there were nefarious things, I can't see it or comment to it. And it presents huge doubts. And that's the thing Tom promised us that he would fix right from day one. And he did not. In fact, I think it got worse.
Mm. Now, so if you have a question or a comment, you can call into 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567.
So by him not doing that, he's disenfranchising every vote by every citizen who is legally, morally, and ethically able to vote in Shasta County.
I mean, it's already bad enough that we're using these machines. You put your ballot, the ballot is ran through the machine. You don't know if it's being counted accurately or not. There's no way to prove that, right? So that's already, that just starts the process of...
Well, we didn't even get to put it in the machine.
Well, but I mean...
We had to put it in an envelope and drop it in a box, even in the ROV office.
Right. I mean, there's just a lack of trust there. We can't see what's happening.
Right.
And then when that ballot is ran through the machine, the county is not even keeping track of the batches and how many ballots are going through. Now, some individuals were.
Oh, my gosh.
But if the county is not, if election staff is not keeping track of that, then there's no way for you to check and verify that with the state's log.
Right.
And, in fact, when we did it, we found lots of mistakes or deliberate numbers that did not match, which now you have a failed audit log. It failed. But by them not even writing that information down, then they're simply taking the state's word for that's what happened.
Right.
And that's wrong.
It seemed, though, Mr. Toller, when I heard him at the Board of Supervisors, is very much aligned with the state and very much wants to not do anything as far as he said, poke the bear.
I wouldn't mind taking Tom bear hunting because I like bear hunting, and I can show you how to successfully harvest a bear, and it's not that hard. In fact, we have a lot of bear, and we need less bears. I can tell you that for sure. It was just missed opportunities here because all we're asking is to follow the law. The Secretary of State couldn't have made any comment whatsoever when you're following the law. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Being overly nervous, there was no reason for it. You follow the law. You allow for meaningful observation. You engage the public. The process of counting ballots should be a very public thing. Engage the public. It's how you restore trust. When I asked Kathy Allen this, she said, "That's not my job." Well, it is your job. And as supervisors, we oversee the elections department. And they've been treating...
What does that mean?
Well, we oversee it. Now, we don't tell the ROV how to run the day-to-day operations, but we control the budget. We control what building you're in. We have a lot of things that we do. And
you can control the building that they're in?
Sure, absolutely. And there may be a change coming there. And again, that would be, one, to save money and to have better transparency. So they've been doing You know, and you know, Kathy Allen, you know, she knows elections inside and out. There's no question she doesn't know any facet of elections. And she knows how to have meaningful observation. It's pretty easy to do. She knows it. I know it. I think a lot of us know how to accomplish that. She chose not to do it. She chose not to do it by pressures from afar. And whether that was from the state or from the RNC or wherever, there was pressure in to put people further away, which is where we're at today with we have no trust. And allow us
probably the DNC,
you know, allow us to see the operations. And by pushing people away, it has created a lot of distrust, and we have to fix that.
Right.
That shouldn't be that way. You know, when I walk into the ROV office, there's a fog in that room. You can feel it. You know, you can feel that you're unwelcome, right? And everybody should be welcome, Republican or Democrat.
Right.
Everybody should be welcoming, and that environment is just a vile environment. We walk in the door, you can feel it. You're not welcome, and we're going to change that. And we recognize the problem. We know how to fix it.
How do we fix it?
And, well, there's an election in a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see some change.
I pray that we do, because we can no longer keep up with this garbage and allow this drama to keep happening.
Well, you know, and you're so right, Wynn. I mean, the thing is, there's no accountability.
Right.
And, you know, we keep getting rid of these people. They get their pensions. They get their dental.
Well, unfortunately, with this, I mean, Thomas Toler, being a lawyer, right, he should have known better, but these election violations, he's opening us up to a lawsuit. That's very viable. He has broken the law.
And then the county can go back after him for not doing what he's supposed to do.
I don't know. I guess he's opening us. We got opened wide up with this, right?
Right.
All you had to do was just follow, not break the laws. And as an attorney, he sounded like that was one thing he was really going to do. I know how to follow the law. I know how to read the codes. It's like, well, obviously you read the codes and ignored them. You know, so that leaves us wide open.
Whatever,
as citizens, too.
Right.
Well, yeah, whatever he said, though, that wasn't the case. I mean, you're at every meeting, and that wasn't the case when he spoke. It seemed to me like he was just, I'm a state guy, I'm going to do what the state tells me, that, you know, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do here, we did everything right.
Well, the thing is, talk is cheap.
But they didn't.
Actions tell you everything.
Well, and he didn't do that. I mean, for example, when I asked him about the audit log and the clock changes, we had
right.
the clock change 23 times. Now, this was in the primary, my race in the primary. And I said, somebody's going to need to explain that. Can we get somebody from Hart? In fact, Hart was in the ROV office at this time when we were aware of this. And he said, well, there's people in that building, you know, working all times of the night. Because there was eight time changes at night, you know, late
at night.
In
the middle of the night, yeah.
Early morning, late at night. And so I had our IT guys take a look at the film footage. And, no, there's nobody in there at night. There can't be, because we have to have meaningful observation. Most of these folks are 9 to 5, and clearly nobody was in the building after 6 o'clock in the evening. And so after he saw that evidence, he goes, okay, well, I misspoke. It was just, you know, the gals, you know, that was in charge of the time. She couldn't, you know, she got the AM and the PM wrong. And I said, that's, again, not what the facts show. That clock is a precise timepiece, and that is not what the evidence shows. I said, why are you covering for Hart? Why don't you just simply say, I don't know, right? I don't know why these things occurred. Let's get somebody from Hart here to explain it. And so I asked that twice. No one from Hart came out to explain it. So I'm going to have the U.S. Department of Justice explain it to me, and I think they'll get to the bottom of it. In addition to that, this overspray issue where half our ballots couldn't be scanned.
Right.
And then another machine is brought in to duplicate that ballot. And then
so they're duplicating the overspray.
They're duplicating it, and then they're making... Jeez. a close electronic image of it, but it's not exact, and they're missing votes. The whole thing, this was the worst election we've ever seen.
Okay, so with the time, why don't they just use military? There is no doubt what time it is.
Well, but you're looking to solve
a problem.
And
yeah, that's what you do. You solve problems, move on to the next one.
They did this was deliberate,
right,
in my opinion.
Right.
And what hackers do is to cover their tracks is to make a corrupted log so you can't reproduce it. That's what we have. That you have a corrupted log in your 2023 primary that cannot be reproduced. Okay. It's against election code, and it happened in Shasta County. Now, how many other places? Now the state is saying we're not going to be able to see that information. They've passed a new law that says you're not going to get to see this information, which, you know, is obvious
which,
that
which tells you something right, corrupt
that,
is happening.
So what that tells you is that the state is aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. They're covering it up.
They probably made it happen,
and there may have had influence in that
right.
process. And so we're getting to the bottom of it. We've got some pretty sharp people here in Shasta County that have been on this. And while we haven't fixed it yet, I think we're going to. The pressure is there. You know, all the leading experts throughout the world that are computer scientists and mathematicians, they've shown fraud in so many different cases, and every single one of them has been discredited as not credible. You know, and it's just going to change. It's obvious that those problems, we have not had fair elections. You know, in fact, with this one coming up, I was super worried because we knew Trump would win by landslide, but I didn't think he'd be president because of the cheating. And it looks like we were able to hold the cheating off this time. That's all that it was.
Right.
And that was a decision not made by the voters. It was made by some other entity group.
Right.
And that's not the way we should be living our lives.
Well, the current administration didn't want to go back into the same kind of administration with their current candidate. And so they knew that that was a losing battle. They were going to lose all the way around. So are they better off just to go 4 years with Trump to get it back cleaned back up and then go back after and return to the techniques and systems that they use to get what they want?
My opinion is that they were ready to cheat. They had everything, just like last time, they had everything that they needed in place to be able to control who was going to be the next president. But the Biden-Harris administration has shown over the last 4 years that when you have a weak United States, you have a weak world.
Right.
And what ends up happening is, particularly with China, if we do not have a strong America, you have a weak China. China and the United States are connected today, inseparable, unfortunately.
Yep.
And I believe China recognized that the United States needed to be stronger on their behalf.
Right.
That a weak United States creates worldwide issues that's good for no one. And I think that decision was made, and that's why they allowed Trump to win. The red wave that you saw this time was the exact same map in 2020 that just did not occur. It did occur. But
a different outcome.
It just didn't. You saw something different.
Right.
And so we were lucky in that regard that Trump is going to have another 4 years, and hopefully his vice president will carry on from there. I think we're going to be far, far better off, and hopefully some real attention is going to be placed on elections throughout, and we can get to the bottom of it. You know, our voter rolls, unbelievably bad things that are happening to our voter rolls, and that is happening at the state level.
Well, we can't, just because we win doesn't mean we sit back on our laurels and just, you know, be happy about the win and just let things go back to normal.
We're in California.
I know, but we've got to fight, and however, whatever tactics we have to fight,
right,
and whatever ways we have to fight to do things, we have to do that.
Well, and that's what the Democrats, you know, they said, hey, you've won everything. You know, why are you not happy? And it's like, well, because we won. That's great. That's good. But we did not control the ability for outside influence.
Well, we didn't really win because the House of Representatives now has more Democrats from the state of California than they did before. And the state of California has 55 representatives in the House of Representatives, which is twice as much as anybody else. That's why when they say where California goes, that's where the rest of the United States goes.
Yeah.
And so I think the real issue is here that we have to look at is that we live in the state of California. We're just going to have to say no. I mean, we always go back to state split, no matter how that's going to look. That's a serious thing. President Trump, the only thing he really can do for us with his jurisdiction is immigration.
Yep.
It's the only thing he really has control over.
Yep.
That has an impact on voting, of course.
Yep.
But he doesn't have the impact to do much else in the state of California. And Newsom knows that. You know, we have a lot of counties that have gone red, mm-hmm. more counties that have ever gone red before. The challenge is that isn't where the people are.
Right.
And as long as we have one man, one vote, and that's the law of the land here in California, then, you know, when you have areas like Santa Clara County or San Mateo County where they're 70 to 85% Democrat, doesn't matter whether you have machines or not.
Well, you look at L.A. County alone. They have a third of the population of the entire state of California.
And they have 11 senators.
And they have 11 senators.
Out of 40.
Yeah, and 15 in total that are parts of other counties.
Right.
So no matter what you do, that's a losing battle. You can't win that. So what's the solution? Like Terry was just saying, doing a state split. That's a no-flippin' brainer. You know, and it's not just our area, but, you know, fracture California all the way up.
And I think that's one thing, and I want to get your opinion on this, Patrick and Lori. You know, one of the things we run into is people think, well, Trump's elected, now everything's good. Let's go have a barbecue.
No.
And that just isn't the case. California is still California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have, you know, people have asked, you know, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And in California, that's always hard to say yes, right? I mean, that is, and it's not just because it's not what happens necessarily at the local level, but California is passing, you know, 1,000 laws a year, practically,
right.
Things that taking your freedoms away. And obviously, what happens when you have a tyrannical government? You know, right?
Right.
What is the responsibility of the public when you see tyranny? And our forefathers had to act, and they had to risk everything when
yep.
they lived under tyranny. And we see that here in California.
Right.
And unfortunately, the state split, there's never going to be another state split with the laws the way they are today. They're not going to allow that. The state of California is not going to say, hey, we're going to cut off a chunk of our property and give it away, right? Every state wants more land, more control, more taxing,
more water,
more everything. And water's a huge big
water.
Yeah,
no,
water's a huge deal for us in California. And so it would have to there has to be a change to allow states to split, because California is not the only state that needs to be split.
Right.
Take a look at Nevada and Oregon, Washington. I mean,
New
there's
York.
Lots of states that need to split, right?
Yeah.
And you know, can that be done at the federal level? You know.
Well, the federal level may not be as much of a problem as the state level. The challenge we have is a lot of people and a lot of movements are trying to say that, well, we have a state government that's treasonous and all this stuff. They're not. There is no sedition here, because if there was, then the legislative body wouldn't be recognized by the United States government.
Uh-huh.
The legislative body of California wouldn't be recognized if there was sedition or anything like that. So until, I mean, I'm kind of praying for the Cal exit thing. You know, if they have Cal exit and old Newsom wants to be his own country, then that'd be great. We can always use the West Virginia model then, because the legislative body has now said we're not going to represent you in the United States anymore.
Well, I think, too, as a charter county, this gives us an ability to try to change things locally.
Right.
Right. That
right.
gives us a little more control. So
yes,
I would, I'd say go that route for now. And I'm sure the state will find a way to do something against the charter.
Well, at what point do you
because
promise
everything,
they know?
Everything that Shasta County does, just wait. You know,
the
some bill, something
new,
else comes
yep,
in. Yeah.
They create a new
but
law.
But in the
or
meantime,
bill or yeah.
let's get, you know, let's let the citizens out there speak up, you guys. Bring up something that you want on the charter. It's for us as the people.
Right.
It's not the Board of Supervisors. They're just the ones that are going to bring it forward and put it on the ballot. So you have something you want to say, by God, bring it to the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
I'm there regularly, and if you don't want to bring it yourself, send it through me. I'll bring it to them. So,
yeah.
Stand up.
Yes.
Amen. Stand up, man up.
You know, and that's been the whole thing, too, is that we have to start realizing, we talk about we the people, that we are we the people, and we do have that power, and that's a great point about the charter. I mean, that's a really good tool to use. And how and the other thing is, too, is people like Tom Toller, why don't you push the envelope? You know, we have to start pushing the envelope. And I know Kevin this morning on his program was talking about pushing the envelope. We, you know, we need to get rid of our DA, period. Okay, we don't have judges, we don't have cops, we're never going to have any of that stuff. We don't have a big enough jail. Doesn't matter. You need to prosecute. And not prosecute people for spilling water on somebody else because of your political stance.
Well, I can tell you right now, and this more will come out next year, and again, I'll be at greater liberty in 2.5 days to talk about certain things that have occurred. But for the public, if you really want to know the truth about what's happening with the DA, take a look at the 2022 primary election and what happened in and around there, and then the facts will reveal themselves.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it at that. Patrick, would you like to come back on next Sunday?
I don't know about next Sunday, but I will be back very, very
soon.
I will
be back.
You need to come back. Yes. We want to hear.
Actually, I'm going to be on the East Coast for January 6th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I will not be here. Okay. I will be in the gulag. No, just kidding.
Right. Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Amen.
Time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. And in the end, it's very clear, anything that we hold dear will never see the light of day with California run this way. The time has come.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.